Good morning, North River family. All of you that are with us virtually, and of course, those of you who are here today, we've had a great 9 a.m. service. Our campus students are at a retreat, and we're here trying to make sense of what this life is like for us and continuing the study in the book of Philippians. We're wrapping it up this morning. We've been in Philippians for several weeks. This is going to be our last look, at least on a Sunday morning, for the book of Philippians, and we're beginning a new series. Jeff's going to let us know about it coming up in just a few minutes, but it ties in so beautifully with the message of Philippians. We're going to start in verse 1, Philippians and chapter 4, and here the Bible tells us, we looked at this in weeks past, that first and foremost, we are a spiritual family. Yeah, we're soldiers of Christ. We're part of an army of God. Yes, we're part of the body of Christ. Yes, we're individual stones that are being built up in a temple for God. But more than anything else, we're a spiritual family. And so as we think about each other here at North River, around the city of Atlanta, and really around the world, we've become very much in touch with our global fellowship this week. We remember we're brothers and sisters. We're dear friends. And in so many ways, our joy and our crown and what's most important in our lives ultimately is involved our spiritual relationships with God and with, you know, each other. It's we're leaving the month of February, Black History Month. We're moving into Women's Month. Russia has invaded a neighboring country in what's been described as the most aggressive act of aggression in the last 70 or 80 years. And so as a church, you wonder, so what is it that we should be doing? Well, we should not be anxious. We should pray. And we should be thankful for all God has done in our life and continues to do, and that He's sovereign and He's in control. If you'd like to open up in the book of Philippians to chapter 4, I'd like you to hold on to this opening in your Bible or in your on your phone if you're following along in that kind of way, and be able to look throughout the next few minutes at the things we'll be covering, to look back at this passage and to think about what Paul is telling us as we focus our attention. He's telling us to rejoice in the Lord always. He says, I'm going to say it again. He just said it in chapter 3, verse 1. He says it all through the scriptures. Even though he's in prison, he's got a lot of things that are not going great in his life, particularly in just a short period of time. Nero is going to undergo a vast persecution, you know, of the church. It's going to get even rougher. It's going to get tough for them. And yet, Paul is saying, overall, when you look at everything, rejoice always. I want to tell you again, and he says, let your gentleness or your reasonableness or your calmness be obvious to everyone around you, he says, because God is at hand, or he's at the elbow. If you want to think, I don't know, look down at your elbow, look at your hand. I mean, God is there. He's with us. He's at our side. Whatever is going on, he is sovereign, and that's so important because that's the only way you can possibly put into practice the next couple of sentences. Therefore, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, take it to God in prayer with supplication, intense prayers to God, and he tells us in doing that with thanksgiving, we'll be able to have a peace that can guard our heart and our mind in Christ Jesus. This is one of those times where we need this. There are going to be times, have been times of anxiety. There'll be more. There'll be opportunities to pray and to be able to connect, and there are times in your life that occasionally this happens where something in the world or it's in your personal life, maybe it's one of those 3 a.m. phone calls you get, you know, unexpectedly. Maybe it's something that you see, well, anybody remember 9/11 and where we all were and what we were thinking, the world kind of came to a stop and we had to do something. There's a lot of reason for anxiety and worry, much need for prayer, and still the need to be grateful for the things that God has done and continue to do in our life. On Thursday morning, we sent out an email to you, And it was from our dear brother, Sean Wooten. We have a close relationship with the Wootens. I don't need to chronicle that. You know, at least before the pandemic, he was here on a regular basis preaching with us. And we're involved in our European Mission Society, lots of things like that. But we have a personal relationship. And he sent an email out. And I hope you've been able to follow along with that. You get it every Thursday morning. If you don't, let us know and we'll get it to you. Here's how it began. It is with a heavy heart that I write this letter. As Ukraine has been invaded and our fellowship of seven churches and over 2,000 disciples are in grave danger.
I'm Mike Tolliver, and we're part of the International Churches of Christ. On February 24th, Russia sent their military forces across the border into the neighboring country, Ukraine. Ukraine is in a state of emergency with battles going on across the country. Bombs and missiles are exploding in the capital of Kiev as fighting begins there. We have seven churches in Ukraine with a total of 2,000 members. Kiev brothers and sisters have literally experienced the ground shaking after explosions and planes and missiles whistling overhead. They are hiding in bomb shelters and living in fear for their lives. Thankfully, miraculously, it seems, as of the recording of this video, everyone is safe and they still have internet connection. They are praying together, sharing verses together, and encouraging one another. There is even a prayer group of Russian and Ukrainian ministry leaders praying for peace. Here's Taras Medvedev's address to the house church leaders in Kiev.
То хотим этого или нет. Но на сегодняшний день каждый из вас пара семейная, будь то служитель для неженатой группы, вот, вы стали по сути дела пастырями. Пастырями в этот непростой период времени. Хочу предложить вам следующие несколько рекомендаций. Первое – это договориться, пока есть связь. Договориться, что вы с вашими домашками собираетесь в Zoom. Второе, о физических нуждах. У кого какие нужды есть. То есть мы говорим о том, что, возможно, это еда, возможно, это какие-то медикаменты. Мы будем стараться донести их тоже в офис церкви, вот, для того, чтобы могли, насколько это возможно, удовлетворить, покрыть эти нужды. Поэтому давайте будем держать наш фокус на Христе, не отводить свой взгляд от Него.
Next door to Ukraine, our sister church in Moldova has responded to the crisis. Sean and Lena Wooten are leading the Revive team and work for the European Mission Society. They have been busy organizing shelter for the Ukrainians who have crossed the border. Sean hosts a daily update and prayer time on Facebook.
The Revive team landed here in October, and now it's become our center for refugees coming out of the Ukraine. And we're here, as you can see, people are checking in.
We'll run out of resources, so we're putting together a plan. Like I said, I'm in Kishinev right now. Even as I'm sitting here on this call, there's brothers and sisters trickling in from all over the Ukraine that we're able to get across the border. At this moment, they're not allowing men from the ages of 18 to 60 to leave the country. I just got news that one of our dear friends, he and his wife and their four-year daughter just got up to the border and they turned him away and they said goodbye to each other at the border, the wife and the daughter, and he has to head back.
We were so encouraged to see hundreds of disciples praying together online at Facebook this week. It's daily at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, United States, 9 p.m. Paris time. Meanwhile, disciples in Russia have also fasted and prayed for the situation in Ukraine. There are complexities to this situation, but without a doubt, we are all unified worldwide in our prayers for peace, for wisdom given to our world leaders, and prayers for all people of Ukraine to be blessed with safety. May God guide the steps of all His people across this war-torn nation. Hope Worldwide noted that though men 18 to 60 years of age cannot leave the country, we expect hundreds of disciples, women, the elderly, and children to flee to Moldova without anything, and we hope to provide food and shelter. Of course, the European Mission Society is already on the ground in Moldova, anticipating and organizing for their arrival. So what can we do to help? If you would like to support our brothers and sisters in need at this time, please go to hopeww.org or also euromissions.org. At both websites, you can donate to help the disciples in the crisis in Ukraine. Next, go to Facebook, where you can learn more at the ICOC Pray Ukraine webpage and pray with disciples from around the world. Then say a prayer. Grab the hand of your roommates or spouse and beseech the Almighty to intervene powerfully for the safety of all people in danger in Ukraine. Our message to disciples in danger across Eurasia: you are not alone. We are with you. God bless. And of course, we'll see you soon at Disciples Today and the Kidogo YouTube channel with more updates.
And all God's people said, amen. Sean closed out his email on Thursday with a real simple request: pray for me. Reminded me of what we hear from the Apostle Paul as he's in prison and going through rough times himself, and as he always says, hey, please pray for me. Pray that I can proclaim the good news clearly, and pray that I can stay strong and be able to serve and to help out in any and every way. I think most of us are super aware of this. We're part of a very diverse, global, close-knit group of churches around the world, in most of the countries in the world and in all of the continents. And this is very much, on our heart. We need to pray for the Wootens. It's so interesting because they find themselves in Moldova now. Lena is a Russian citizen. Sean's an American citizen. The only two countries they can really go to right now is Moldova, where they are in Istanbul. Their daughter, who is also Russian, who's with them now, and her fiance, who's Ukrainian, are with them in Moldova, and the only place they can get married is in Istanbul, coming up, okay? It's a very real thing that goes on in these different parts of the world, and we're fully aware it's not the only crisis going on in the world. And the only place where people are being, threatened and mistreated, and abused and compromised and much to worry about, this is just very much front and center, on our minds because of the scope of it and some of the potential consequences, that are there, right now. For our family, it's a very personal thing. We've been feeling stuff, over the last, a few days. Our son Ryan was in Moscow and also in Kiev for 3 years, serving voluntarily for Hope Worldwide and with the Singles Ministry. There, Kelly and I have been in Ukraine 5-6 times. We've taught in Kiev and Odessa and Lviv, and we have regular fellowship with the leaders as they come over into the States from time to time. Sean and I talk on the phone at least a couple times a month. We're part of the Eastern European Task Force and have bi-monthly calls there as well. We're very closely associated, and the Wootens are kind of an extended part of our family. So we feel these things very, very deeply. I wish I had more time to talk about this because, and I'm sure when Sean gets back here, he'll be able to do more. But we were on the phone on Friday morning with our task force, and Sean was saying, I'm scratching my head right now with what in the world are we doing in Moldova? The plan was 10 months ago to be in Croatia, where our revive team would be because of the pandemic visa situations. The only place they really could land with those 30 disciples was in Moldova. And then God wasn't shocked or surprised by all of this coming on, and he had them right there in Moldova. They were, their documents weren't approved. In fact, I'm going to show this to you very quickly. This is from an email that went out a couple of weeks ago. They only had a couple of more hours to get their documents to be able to come back into Moldova from Istanbul, and it looked like they weren't able to get in. And then finally we got this a couple of hours later. Hey, we made it. I can't show that too much. That's a political document, right there. And the story was so unbelievable. The church leader, Slava, went to try to get the documents. Everything was there. There were about 2 or 3 hours, left to go. And they said, we can't get to it. We got too much going on. He was crestfallen, heartbroken, went back home to do the one thing that he does when he's down. He got some food and went out to feed homeless dogs. That's what Sean shared to us. He walks out, his neighbor says, "You look really down, what's up?" And he says, he explained the story. He said, "Well, my wife actually just finished an investigation of the immigration department, and let me call her up and see what she could do." She got on the phone, went down to that office, and those documents were approved, you know, within an hour. It's just God working in a miraculous, powerful, you know, powerful way. We need to keep praying. The Ukrainian spirit is strong. Some of us may wonder, why are we talking about this like in church? Well, believe me, if Mexico was invading us and we and our brothers and sisters in Texas were being invaded, it would be on your mind. Or if it were happening in Florida, 100%, it would be on your heart and mind, because this is our family. It's our spiritual family, and we care. But we've got to tie it back in to what our responsibility and what our opportunity is to not be anxious if you're looking at the scriptures. It's to be thankful, and it is to pray. If ever Christians of any persuasion, and certainly disciples of Christ, you would be put on notice right now that it's time we don't pick up arms, we get on our knees and we really pray. The consequences, you know, could be pretty dire in all of this if it goes in the wrong direction. We remember what kind of warfare that we're in. The Bible tells us we need to humble ourselves before God, and we need to cast all our anxiety on us, but be aware we have an enemy, the devil, who prowls around trying to hurt people, spiritually and otherwise. We know Ephesians chapter 6, it's a spiritual battle first and foremost. Spiritual forces in the heavenly places, and they influence the things that are happening in our lives. I don't know if you heard this quote from the leader of Russia: whoever tries to interfere with us, and even more to create threats to our country, to our people, should know that Russia's response will be immediate and will lead you into such consequences as you have never experienced in your history. That could be something that could give you some anxiety. Any of you remember the 60s? 1960s, yeah. You remember that was like another thing? 1960s. We were in a Cold War. It was a challenging time. If you're older, you remember when you were in middle school, maybe elementary school, they had drills. They weren't fire drills. They were nuclear drills, because there was an intense nuclear standoff, you know, with the United States and with the Soviet Union. And we were instructed, remember what they told us to do in school? Get under the desk. Like, that's going to really be effective when a nuclear bomb drops down the street. But that's what we were doing. You remember in the 80s, at least I think the 1980s, a lot of you will remember. I mean, you know, there were movies that were out there. It was still pretty intense, you know, movies like The Day After. You remember these apocalyptic visions and stuff like that. The thing is, disciples of Christ, we know earthly security is a complete illusion. Whether it's in our personal life or our country or the world, God is sovereign. He's in control, but we can be a part of what He's doing. And what we do is not be anxious. There's going to be some anxiety, okay, that's going to come play, you know, with our children, others. I mean, if it's not this, what world kind of world, Steve and Sue, is Lamari going to inherit? Our grandchildren and our children. There's plenty to potentially be anxious about, but a disciple is not to be anxious, but to pray and to have thanksgiving. But, you know, I think, like, at this point, this is so important. It's like, as a church, we shouldn't be taken by surprise on this kind of on thing. We know what the Bible tells us to do. As a matter of first order, in the church, when we come together, not just in a Sunday morning thing like this, as you get together in your small groups or in twos and threes, or when we meet in a larger setting, first of all, let's pray for our world and for the leaders, that they don't get weird and crazy, okay, and that they allow for peace to take place in our world. And so, you know, you got to ask, how are we doing on that in our prayers over the last 4 or 5 days? You know, it's not just the amount of time that you put in, But it is the intent of your heart and some intensity and some focus and some concern about that. Again and again, the Bible is letting us know that devote yourself to prayer. Be watchful. Be thankful. This is Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, and so many other passages here. First and foremost, this is important in our lives. I just quoted a passage to us, from Colossians chapter 4. And again, the idea is, Be alert, gang. Don't be asleep at the wheel. Be watchful. Be thankful. Amen. Always much more to be grateful for, but pray. This is a clarion call, and that's how the book of Philippians basically ends. It ends with telling us to not be anxious about anything, pray about everything. God will guard our hearts and minds. He goes on. We'll look at this passage here, maybe quickly in just a moment. Whatever is pure, right, noble, the good things in life, and most of all, Jesus, focus on that. Pray and then focus on what your mind focuses on. That's all about the series that starts next week. But when you do this, practice these things, the God of peace, it will be with you. And as this book of Philippians comes to a close in a challenging situation, because Paul's in prison, he didn't know what's going to happen. He says, I've learned a secret. And the secret is how to be content and at peace in any situation. I know what it's like to really be in bad, lousy shape and have lots to worry about me. And I know what it's like for things to be going pretty good. But the secret in this is I can do all things. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Would you agree with that? Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. And He will give you peace. And He